Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Chris, our video feed here, 94 WIP, our YouTube page. And I don't even know what to say after last night. Obviously, a lot to say, and we have a lot to talk about here. But as the Sixers go down in New York and they're dropped the first two games, last night, it goes up there with any Sixers loss I've ever seen. I mean, that was as difficult to watch at the end as anything. That game felt over with about 35 seconds to go. And then like that, it was the Knicks game. And the Sixers went from evening the series and us talking about them taking home court back and how good of a job they've done on Jalen Brunson and how they got out of New York with the win and they stole momentum back to where we are now, which is in a really bad spot with the Sixers and one that opens up this whole can of worms of this everything here, because last night was a disaster. All right, let's start with the end, and then we'll kind of play the blame game on really who's what parts of this was the most at fault. Obviously, the end was bad. I am not usually one that puts it all on the referees. I always think the team and the players and the coaches control way more than the refs. I will start by saying I thought the refs missed it. I mean, I thought they missed it. That they made two mistakes last night. One was an obvious hold on Maxi on the inbound. They could have called that. They didn't. Okay, they let it play very physical, which played right into the Knicks' hands. So that was the first miscall, you would say. I wouldn't say it was like the worst thing I've ever seen, but they could have called it. They absolutely could have called it. The one they should have called was Nurse calling a timeout while Maxi had the basketball. I mean, that was happening. Now, I don't agree with Nurse that he should have got the call before the inbounds. If you go and watch the replay of that, Nick Nurse was kind of hesitant. Like, he almost was going to do it. He had his hands over his head as Lowry is, you know, holding the ball on the inbounds, one, two, and then it was like a quick tap. I am trying to piece together where it was, maybe around three or four. And by the time I think the quick tap happened, then he pulled it back. They didn't give him the timeout. Then by then, Lowry's inbound on the basketball. It wasn't, you know, watching it over, I didn't think Nick Nurse was screaming timeout or going like this, timeout, timeout. Like, I didn't feel that. Now, he was doing that when Maxi had the ball, and that's when he probably should have got the timeout call. That was the game right there. But, you know, for the blame game for the referees, they did miss some things. I didn't think it was the most egregious thing in the world. They didn't give Nurse the timeout on the inbounds because I just didn't think he was demonstrative enough to get the timeout there. I just didn't think so. Now, I don't know if they missed it, if they kind of split second saw him like this, moved away, and then they didn't see that. I don't know what happened. He did do it quickly, but it felt like he was half in, half out with that timeout. If he needs that timeout, he's got to scream his head off, run to half court, and make sure he gets the timeout. So that's one issue. The referees missed when Maxi had the ball and he was calling it. You see that on a still shot quite clear. And they missed what could have been a foul on Maxi. So those are two things referees messed up. Everything else, though, it's on the Sixers. It's on the Sixers. They messed the rest up. Lowry could have called an inbounds himself on the inbound. Excuse me, could have called a timeout on the inbounds. Once that clock in his head is going and he doesn't have anybody and they're swarming Maxi, he could have called a timeout. Maxi could have called a timeout. I mean, Maxi is basically rolling around on the ground and only a bad thing's going to happen there. I mean, there's nothing good that's going to come of that the way he is. He's got to call the timeout there. So that was bad. Then, of course, letting the Knicks get the offensive rebound at the end is, for me, the worst part of it all. Like, that game is still in hand if you get the offensive rebound. You will have free throw shots, and you can go back up. Like, it is still the Sixers game if they just grab the offensive rebound. And I always think, and I say this about every sport, whatever your weakness is, that's how you will lose. That, like, it will come back to you. You might patch it up. You might forget about it. You might think it's not that big of a deal. Every team in every sport, when the season ends, as we go further and further all the way to the end, it's always their undoing. Whatever their weakness is becomes their undoing. And in this series for the Sixers, their undoing is their inability to rebound, their inability to box out the New York Knicks. And that is it. They can't get a loose ball rebound if their life depended on it in a big spot. And the Knicks, I don't know if it's a combination of want it more, if it's physicality, if it is, you know, technique, whatever it is, they're better at it. I think part of it, and we'll get to this, is the Sixers' best player is just out of gas at the end. And last night, he obviously did a lot of really good things and played a whale of a game for a lot of it. But he's out of gas at the end, almost nowhere to be seen as that ball goes up, as Hartenstein is flying in there to get the rebound. The Sixers couldn't execute down the stretch. The referees didn't help. They made it worse, but the Sixers got to execute. Lowry's got to be smarter about that. Maxey's got to be smarter. And someone has to grab a rebound there and not let DiVincenzo have another chance. It's unbelievable how that played out. So obviously the end of the game sequence, rough. I mean, all-time bad. It reminded me of the Kawhi thing. In a different sport, it reminded me of the game two in Atlanta. The Phillies lost last year. Now, they rebounded to come home and beat the crap out of the Braves. We'll see if the Sixers can somehow get off the mat after this one. I find it harder to believe than the Phillies doing what they did. But that one was a tough loss. Obviously, the confetti game was a tough loss. The Kawhi game, the Sixers game six last year against Boston. There's so many of these where it just feels like down the stretch of the game, they choke it away. They just choke it away. And it's different coaches. It's different supporting cast. They choke the game away. They did last night. And I'm of age to remember Reggie Miller, famous great shooter for the Pacers, doing that same thing to the Knicks in the 90s. I mean, if you've never seen it, go search the Reggie Miller against the Knicks, you know, final. Like, he scored like 8 points in 9 seconds. I think it was 95. And it was just like that. I mean, it was like that in reverse last night. The Knicks got that one. They were on the wrong end of the other one. But it's crushing because the Sixers had that basketball game last night. All right, so obviously the referee played a role. The Sixers down the stretch played a role in their own poor execution. Also, one more thing. Nurse could have called a timeout after the Brunson three and could have moved the ball to half court. That's another possibility. It would have given him more room to get the inbounds in. He chose not to do that. He chose to save the timeout. Obviously, they didn't use it. So it could have been done a different way. So Nurse, the execution at the end, not good enough. As far as the other issues in the game last night, Maxey showed up, Embiid showed up. The rest of the team did not. 32 combined points for the rest of the Sixers last night is not good enough. And it wasn't like they were particularly efficient. You know, obviously Maxey and Embiid have taken most of the shots, so I'm not expecting those guys to score, you know, 50 or 60 points on the shots they had. But if you look at what those other guys did, it wasn't good enough. I mean, it just wasn't good enough. Tobias Harris, 4 of 11 shooting. The guy is a total waste, a total waste. He was a little bit aggressive early, got most of his points early, and then just totally disappeared. Lowry, I thought, gave them good minutes, only 8 points, but he's been playing his butt off in this series, and I appreciate that. Kelly Oubre has gone totally invisible. I mean, totally invisible. 2 of 7, 4 points. He had as many fouls as he had points last night. He's of no help. Batum knocked in a couple threes to give him 6. Paul Reed had a bucket, and Buddy Hield is the one I keep coming back to. He played 15 minutes last night, Buddy Hield. He was 0 of 2 from 3. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. This guy, in terms of volume, is one of the top 25 ever in terms of three-pointers made in pro basketball history, and he can't buy a three right now if his life depended on it. I'm watching McBride come in, instant offense, 2 games in a row for the New York Knicks. Josh Hart, everyone says can't shoot, is just bombing them up over and over again. These guys they bring in, you know, Bogdanovich comes in off the bench, boom, boom, instant offense. And the Sixers don't get that. So they're asking Maxey, who was ill yesterday, and Embiid, who's obviously not fully there, to give them, I mean, above and beyond what you kind of need to win a basketball game. So last night, the supporting cast let the Sixers down. I mean, it's just, they just did. They have to be better. They have to get more to Buddy Hield. I mean, that's why he's here. Otherwise, like, they could have kept Marcus Morris. You know, he would have got a rebound last night. The combination of guys they have to give them more. The fact that Tobias game last night wasn't actually one of his worst games in recent memory is telling. You know, the fact that it was like, oh, he had 10 on 4 of 11 shooting. It's like, no, but that's horrendous. I mean, that's your third player. That's the third guy. Him and Oubre, someone's got to be the third guy and be in the 15, 16, 17 point range to help Embiid and to help Maxey. Didn't happen. Another reason they lost last night, and I want to make sure I don't blast him today because he gave them a lot. But one thing Joel Embiid is showing an inability to do right now, and it's hurting them, is carry the athleticism and carry the drive and the feel-good nature he has when the game starts through the game. He did it in the first quarter in game one, and then he fell off after he hurt his knee. And then last night he came out, and this might be the most remarkable statistic of the game last night. Joel Embiid had 10 rebounds. So you might say, Joe, obviously it wasn't horrendous. He had more rebounds in this game than the last game. He rebounded the ball well. Well, he had 8 rebounds in the first quarter. 8 of his 10 rebounds came in the first quarter. He had 8 in the first quarter. He had 1 in the second. He had 1 in the third. He had 0 in the fourth quarter. 0 in the fourth quarter. He was 2 of 6 shooting in the fourth quarter. 0 from 3 from 3. Gassed. I mean, you saw it as you tried to run down the court on a fast break. He's that left. The tank's empty in the fourth quarter. And it's impossible to win in the NBA when most of these games are close, especially if you're an underdog like the Sixers are. You're not going to be up 15 in the fourth quarter most games. You're going to either be within a couple points, down or up, whatever. The game's on the line. So the fact that Joel's got nothing left to tank, it hurts. Zero rebounds in the fourth quarter. I mean, if you had told me, you know, Joe, who's going to get that ball on the miss by DiVincenzo? I would have said not Joel Embiid, because he's got no lift right now and everyone's jumping over him for rebounds as the game goes on. Again, 8 in the first quarter, 1 in the second, 1 in the third, and none in the fourth. It's just, it's almost like they're playing 5-on-4 and on the low block in the fourth quarter the last couple games. He can't jump, and it is absolutely killing them. On a night, he actually played well. Last thing, and it's a small thing, I want Maxi taking that last shot. I know the game was probably over. They were dead probably at that point. But Maxi was the better player last night, the more efficient scorer, red hot early, did it again late to get them, you know, the lead late in the game. And I just trust him from downtown more to create a good look and to shoot the basketball. He shoots over people. He could create his own space on his jump shot. And he's not afraid to take a shot from 3 or 4 or 5 feet beyond the arc. That's the guy I want shooting the ball. I thought it was like when he was dribbling it up and I'm watching Embiid stand there, I'm like, don't pass it, Embiid. Don't pass it, Embiid. Let Maxi shoot it. And Maxi handed it to Embiid, and away the Sixers go, who are now down 0-2, Tucker, despite playing amazing defense on Jalen Brunson. I mean, they're putting Brunson in a blender to start this series. And if I had told you or you told me before the series he's shooting 29%, I would have said they're at least 1-1. And unfortunately, they're not.
Yeah, if you just look at the averages between, you know, the three true stars in the series, right? Embiid and Maxey for the Sixers and Brunson for the Knicks. If you just look at those three stats, you would say, oh, Sixers have to be up 2-0, right? Like, even with Embiid missing time and not really looking like himself in the fourth quarter of games, he's still putting up some of the best numbers of his postseason career, right? The way he's been able to attack early. But to me, I think that's been the biggest thing of this series is how the supporting cast has really surrounded and protected Brunson. And the Sixers have had nobody. Like, Kyle Lowry had a good game one. I thought he played well in game one. He had his moments in game two last night. I look at what the rest of the team has done. They have 17 bench points in two games. I mean, that's terrible. And I get you don't have a lot of bench scoring, but you have Buddy Hield, right? And I'm asking him to put the fear of God in people, but the dude's made 1-3 in the last three games, right? Like, since the play-in game, he's 1 of 8 from three. Paul Reed, I think, has 6 or 8 points, and Nico Batum really has cooled off since that first play-in game. And to me, I think that's the big thing right now. It's as great as Maxey and Embiid have been playing. It feels like they're playing 2-on-5 a lot of times. And I thought last night was a great Tobias Harris game. I never say anything positive about Tobias Harris. I thought the way he played in the first half, the way he hustled, he got a few key rebounds. That's all I want. Like, if he does that every night, I'll be quiet. I don't need him going out trying to score a bunch. I thought he played well and he filled his role well. But right now, it feels to me like Maxey and Embiid are on an island and no one is really helping them outside of Lowry making a few hustle plays. And when you talk about Embiid and his inability to stay fresh, stay healthy through all four quarters of the game, I mean, going into that fourth quarter, it really felt like, well, if Maxey doesn't score 15 in this quarter, they're going to lose. And they almost pulled it out. And, you know, I agree with you. It was something we talked about after game one, that Maxey really needs to step up in the fourth quarter, especially if Joel is going to look this unhealthy. And as great as he played for, you know, 47 and a half minutes, I thought the decision to defer to Embiid on that last shot, I don't even think Embiid got it off before the clock expired. I think he was even surprised that the ball, you know, came his way. I don't know. I don't know to be more encouraged because, man, they should have 2 wins and they don't. And, you know, even with Embiid looking unhealthy and, you know, the other 8 guys in the rotation not playing well, but for a team that's really made an art of heartbreaking postseason losses, and you can, you know, really run down the list of what they've done in the last 5 or 6 years, that one might have been the toughest. I mean, it happened so quick, you didn't have time to process what happened. They were up 5 with 25 seconds to go, and it felt like, all right, well, this is it. Like, there's no way you can lose that. And in the blink of an eye, it was just over. It's even now, like, I'm still in shock that it happened.
I think we all are. I mean, it was lightning quick, and it encapsulated the series so far because the Knicks, other players other than their stars, keep making plays. I mean, Josh Hart is, if Josh Hart played anywhere but Villanova in college, he'd be public enemy number one here. He's like the classic playoff villain. in this series so far, knocking down three. I felt like every time last night, the Sixers pushed that lead to 10. It was a bunch of times, like three or four times. They pushed the lead to 10, boom, a hard three. Boom, a hard play. And it got it back to seven. It just kind of kept them in it so they didn't die in that game. Look, there's reasons to feel somewhat encouraged. They're coming home, and they've shut down Brunson. I think it's a theme here that Maxey's athleticism, his long arms at the guard position, and throwing Oubre at him. Like, they're giving Brunson a lot of trouble. I give them a lot of credit for that. And the Knicks are going to have a hard time keep winning if Brunson keeps shooting as poorly as he can. But it's daunting. I mean, they have to win four out of five now, including a possible game seven, or unless they win four in a row, it'd have to be a game seven up in New York. And it's just the environment. It's hard for me to believe they could go win that game. So it feels daunting right now. The position the Sixers have put themselves in, it would be unprecedented if they come back for their history. And I don't know. I hope they can. I hope they find a way in the next 2 days to recalibrate here. The body language they had after that game last night, especially Embiid in the locker room, I don't know how they get up off the mat. I don't know. I hope they do. But I think back to last year, game six, the way they lost that, and then they rolled over and died in game seven in Boston. I just hope there's some sort of fight left, because the Knicks, you fear they snatched their soul last night, because that game was the Sixers, and they don't get to come up with it. Just an unbelievable loss. Lot to discuss, lot to react to. We'll do it on the Midday Show today and, of course, on WIP Daily. We'll talk soon. Phillies keep rolling. That's pretty good, though. They win seven in a row, and the NFL draft's a couple days away. Thanks so much for listening and watching WIP Daily.